You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 124.
This is Rod. Welcome back. I hope you're having a great summer. I couldn't resist playing Summertime by Brother Love. That was a little clip. Stay tuned at the end. I'll play the full song. It's one of the most popular pop rock tracks on the Podsafe Music Network. Summertime by Brother Love. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Hi, this is Rod Murray, and this is the second part of a podcast I did on e-learning tech, What's on the Horizon. If you missed part number one, I talk a lot about the pedagogy of the latest in e-learning tech. And here I'm finishing up talking more about the technology of flipping the classroom. So, you may have heard about flipping the classroom. What does this really mean, and what can we do to help engage our students? As I mentioned before, there are three ways to transfer knowledge: through speech, I guess you could call it S-learning, through writing, you could call that W-learning, or electronic, all modes of media, and we'll call that e-learning. Now, I don't normally read my slides, but many of you are listening to this through the audio-only podcast, so here I'm defining e-learning. E-learning is the use of electronic media and information and communication technologies in education, so that's pretty wide-ranging general term. It turns out that consumer entertainment technology always finds its way into the classroom. And that's what becomes e-learning technology. Let's look at a couple of examples. The earliest one I can remember is the Stereopticon. Now, here's a picture showing what one looks like. I was able to find in the archives at Thomas Jefferson University that the Stereopticon was used a long time ago in the teaching of physiology and anatomy. More recent years, some of you my age or older remember film strips used in the class or slides. And then, of course, in the 50s, television came along and was thought to be a great educational tool. And then we have the ViewMaster, stereoscopic imaging. In fact, this is an example of a neuroanatomy image textbook or lab book that was put into the ViewMaster format. And along comes the VHS player. And for a while there, video discs were all the rage. I was involved with helping to produce some educational video discs in the early 90s. And if you don't recall that technology, it was a large disc, looks like an LP record, if people remember what those were. And it could store 50,000 still images. And we were a participant in the Slice of Life, which was a series of shared images, mostly in pathology and anatomy. And then that was sort of made obsolete by the advent of the CD-ROM and certainly DVD. And now, of course, we have all kinds of mobile devices these days. And the iPad. Now, the iPad's made quite an impact on education, and I'll be talking more about that in a moment. And the iPad, in conjunction with Apple TV, has made a definite impact in teaching here, at least at our university, and I know others. So before we get into some more of the details here, I thought it'd be fun to quiz you on how many years did it take for color TV to reach 10 million households? And if you want to participate in the poll and see what other people came up with, go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com/p/color-tv.html. And of course, if you're on my show notes, you can just click on the link and answer the poll. How about the VCR? So here's another page, the same URL except ending in vcr.html. So how many years did it take for the VCR to reach 10 million households? How about the CD player? And how about the iPad? And again, the same URL with ipad.html at the end. So I won't make you wait very long here. Let me show you the results here. How many years to reach 10 million households? Well, it took over 18 years for the color TV to reach 10 million. The VCR was a bit shorter, about 12 years to reach 10 million. And the CD player, you can see a trend here, CD player about 7 or 8 years to reach 10 million households. But the iPad is the fastest growing entertainment and hence educational technology. It took less than a year to reach 10 million households. So iPads enable peer learning and help us flip the classroom. And how do we go about doing that? One way to do that is to project your iPad with Apple TV. So here's how you would do it. You have your iPad. Your iPad comes with the AirPlay technology. So you have to maybe work with your IT folks on campus to make sure that the Apple TV and the iPad are on the same wireless network. And then the Apple TV device is wired into your projector or a flat screen TV in your classroom. Now, sometimes, especially if you're traveling, you don't always have the ability to have an Apple TV with you. The local institution may not have it. And what I've done on occasion is use a replacement for Apple TV. There's an app called Reflector, and it works on the Mac or PC. So here I can, or in your own institution, for example, if you haven't invested in Apple TV, you hook up your laptop to the projector like you might normally do in your classroom, but then you can walk around the room and show what's on your iPad. It's picked up by the reflector on your laptop and shown on the projector. So this is a great advance for making do with technology that you may already own. So I want to talk a little bit about pedagogy and how iPads are used at my institution, University of the Sciences. Before I do that, let's find out if you've used iPads in class as an instructor. Again, if you follow the link here, it's on ipadsinclass.html. It's important to have an orientation, both certainly to your faculty and to your students, on the best practices in using iPad and what some of the must-have iPad apps are. The one I'll highlight here at the bottom of the screen and of course, we're a Blackboard school, so it's really a must-have to have students and faculty use the Blackboard mobile app for Learn. And this comes free if you're a Blackboard school. One way to help flip your classroom is to use peer instruction. We talked a little bit about that in part one. And one way to do that, and some of our faculty here have done that, is to have a scavenger hunt. So you ask your students to look for apps. Go to the web, go to the app store, and look for apps that might be discipline specific. And then they can show off their apps that they found with the rest of the class. So it's a good way to get a little peer instruction going and discover some useful apps for your class. Now, if you're in class, it's a face-to-face class, one way that you can help to engage your students is by using an audience response system. And we talked about that in part one. In fact, we use Turning Point Anywhere here and Responseware. And so the students with the iPads or any mobile devices or the old school clickers, you can poll your students. That's another good way to help flip your classroom. So another way to do a in-class exercise in terms of flipping the class is to do problem solving and results sharing. So you might give your students a problem to do. And one of our instructors here, on her own, figured out a way to do this without any help from IT. She used AirSketch, which is a there's a free version of that app. And so she realized that AirSketch has its own built-in web server. So if your computer in your lab is connected to a projector, and you have AirSketch on your iPad on the same wireless network, you can show students what's on your iPad remotely. So you don't need Apple TV for this. So students might see what she has, he or she has, and then do something on their iPad in the way of solving a problem and sharing results. And they would share the results by uploading the file to Dropbox. And then once it's on a shared Dropbox, the instructor can pull those graphic files, screenshots, whatever, off of Dropbox and share it with the class using AirSketch. So as I mentioned here, this is a good way to create, save, and upload documents in class, again, all on an iPad. Today, however, we would recommend the use of Apple TV with AirPlay. And you could pretty much do the same thing because your students could actually show their results directly. They could project their app, their writing, their documents from the student's iPad directly to the classroom projector. How about for some out-of-class assignments? One of our instructors, again, used AirSketch to capture what they were doing in their iPad on their desktop machine and use Panopto, which is what our institution uses for lecture capture. So it was a good way for her to create a pre-lab video and allow students to see some instruction out of class before they came into the lab. And here's
You're going to take a particular amount, 0.5xx grams of your unknown, and react it to water.
So you can see I'm speeding through this, but I think you get the idea.
So let's flip the page and then do our calculations.
So today we would recommend, instead of her setup, I would recommend ShowMe. And here's a little demo that was created in ShowMe. The beauty of ShowMe is that once you upload from your iPad to the ShowMe website, you can download a completed video. So you can use that video then anyway, share it on YouTube or allow students to download it. So that's a highly recommended way to do this sort of thing. So what were the results of using iPads this way in some of our classes? We ran a pilot a while back. We asked students to rate using iPads, and as you can see, most of them said it was pretty simple to use. We also asked them if it helped them to actually learn in class. And again, most of them said it was close to being helpful or very helpful to learning in class. So in terms of our pilot here at USciences, every department that wants to use iPads, the faculty have committed to joining a professional development cohort so we could give them training and so they could share experiences with their fellow faculty. About two-thirds of our faculty now have an iPad, and iPads are required for some programs. For example, the occupational therapy students all required to have an iPad. Now, there are too many wonderful educational apps to show. I'm sure you know many of them, but I did want to share some of the top-notch apps here. And the first one I want to share is ApprendNet. I did a podcast a while back on the details of ApprendNet, but I thought I would share one of their short videos here to give you an idea of a great e-learning tool that can be used to help flip the classroom.
All ApprendNet exercises start by asking the learner to watch a real-world relevant skill challenge. Learners then practice their skills by responding to the challenge via video. After learning by doing, learners observe others who practice the same skill and both give and get feedback. Finally, only after all learners have made their own attempt and learned from each other do they get to see an expert's response to the skill challenge and read expert critiques to their practice videos. ApprendNet, learn smarter.
The other one that I think is very unique and quite new is TouchCast. Again, I'll put a link to the podcast I did on TouchCast, where we went into much more depth. But here's a brief video about what TouchCast is all about.
Try to imagine the future of video and the web. Not only what it will look like, but what it will feel like. What you're watching right now is not just a video, it is a TouchCast. A new medium that looks like TV, but feels like the web. I'll show you what I mean. Say you want to bring up an article from the web, like this recent Time cover story on the real cost of healthcare. With TouchCast, the article appears at first like a regular TV-style graphic, but with a touch, it launches into full browser mode. Or maybe you want to see what people are saying about healthcare on Twitter. Pull up a stream of tweets like this one and simply place it on the screen. Now touch the feed and see what happens. It updates in real time. Or pull up a video like this one and place it on the screen. Or grab an image or two. Now your TouchCast is a container for other media. It all lives inside the TouchCast. You can even draw directly on the video. With TouchCast, anything is possible.
So I hope you got something out of this very brief survey of some of the pedagogy and technology of flipping the classroom. And I guess this was all inspired by the Horizon Report. And again, I encourage you to go to the Horizon Report and see what's on the horizon in e-learning technology. Thanks for watching or listening, and stay tuned at the end of my audio podcast for the full song. And until next time, have a great week.
When I was young.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback.
You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.